Brothers and sisters, my name is Father Roger Landry. I'm a priest from Massachusetts. I work for the Church of the United Nations in New York. And I have the honor of being Father Jim's seminary classmate from Rome. So yesterday I was here to preach the Day of Recollection for the parish in preparation for Holy Week, which we've just entered. We call this week holy for two reasons. Because Jesus made it holy by all we just heard in that Passion account. But also because this is the week that God wants to make us holy. So we can't live it the way we live any other week. 51 weeks of the year, when I was a pastor in Massachusetts, I always was quietly and silently happy interiorly whenever a parishioner would say, "See you next week, Father," as we would say in Massachusetts. "See you next week." I was happy to see you the next Sunday. But I was always a little disappointed and somewhat shocked when people would say those words on Palm Sunday. I was happy that they were going to come on Easter. But Holy Week is a week different than other weeks. And what every priest longs to hear from his people is, "See you tomorrow, Father," or minimally, "See you Holy Thursday. See you Good Friday. Can't wait for the Easter Vigil." Because this week, if God's going to make us holy through it, we have to show up. I'd like to ponder a few of the elements of this scene in the brief homily the Church asks us to give on Palm Sunday. First is what happened at the beginning of this Mass. The ancient Jews welcomed Jesus into Jerusalem. They ran out of their houses. They were laying their cloaks on the ground, giving him the best possible welcome. This man who owned the coal just allowed the disciples to take it in order for Jesus to enter into his holy city. First way we need to respond in Holy Week is we need to be running out of our houses. We need to be starting the ignition. We need to be coming here to give Jesus that same welcome. If we do, Jesus has a chance to do what he wants to this week and advance us following his footsteps along the road to holiness. Second thing we have to ponder is what Jesus is worth for us. Judas went to the chief priests and the scribes and asked, "What will you give me if I betray him to you?" Judas had a price. His price was 30 pieces of silver. One piece of silver was 3 days' wages. So it was about 90 days of work. Today's money, if somebody makes up $40,000 a year, for example, that's $10,000. If you give me 10 grand, I'll betray Jesus to you. What's Jesus worth for us? Would we take any price? If somebody gave us $1 million to cut Mass next week, would we take it? If somebody gave us the winning lottery ticket to miss Good Friday, would we take it? How much is Jesus worth? There's another scene that we'll hear on Friday, Mary of Bethany. She took this precious aromatic nard, which cost 300 days' wages. So for a Jew who worked 6 days out of the 7 days in the week, would have been a whole year's salary. Think about what you make during a week. That dollar figure. You took that whole year's salary in this aromatic nard and poured it over Jesus' feet, seemingly wasting it. And Judas was the one who said, "This money could have been given to the poor." Because Judas didn't really value Jesus much, and he was stealing from the pot. How much is Jesus worth for us? There's such a beautiful Lenten hymn. It's my favorite Lenten hymn of all, called "When I Survey the Wondrous Cross." The last verse of it goes this way: "Were the whole realm of nature mine, would be an offering far too small for love so amazing, so divine, demands my life, my soul, my all." Is Jesus worth our all? Now, I presume most of us here would say, "I want Jesus to be that valuable, but I know, looking in the spiritual mirror, that I betray him too. I'm not as faithful as I want to be. I'm not exactly where God wants me at this time." So how do we strengthen ourselves in order to be able to be faithful to Jesus until the end? Jesus himself gives us that spiritual prescription during the Last Supper when he said, "Surely all of you will betray me." And all of them said, "Surely not I, Lord." He finally turned to Peter and Peter said, "Lord, even if I should have to die for you, I would never betray you." And Jesus said, "Peter, before the cock crows tonight, you're going to deny three times that you even know me. You will apostatize." And then in the garden, he said, "Pray and keep vigil, lest you not undergo the test. For the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak." Peter's spirit was willing. He would eventually die for Jesus, crucified upside down in Rome 34 years later. But at that moment, even though his spirit was willing to give everything for Jesus, his flesh was weak, and he caved in just to stay warm by the fire as he was tailing Jesus. The same prescription, though, is given for us. If we're going to remain faithful, we have to keep vigil in prayer. We have to stay awake. We have to be alert. This is a week, more than any other week, that we should be praying. This is like a retreat for the entire church across the globe. Make the time for prayer. Jesus will strengthen you through it. Then it comes to the choice we have to make. In every age, there are Pontius Pilate who say, "Who do you want? Do you want me to release to you Jesus Christ? Or do you want Barabbas or some Barabbas in disguise? Barabbas perhaps in the disguise of television. Barabbas perhaps in the disguise of work. Barabbas in the disguise of somebody else who wants to do something with us on Thursday or Good Friday or the Easter Vigil. What do you want? Whom do you want?" Archbishop Fulton J. Sheen used to say that our conscience is the tribunal of Pilate. Every time we're faced by a choice between Jesus and something else, that something else is Barabbas in a mask. Every time, however, we say, "Give me Jesus. I want Jesus," we are strengthened to continue to say, "I want Jesus until the end." This is the type of faith that makes us martyrs. This is the type of price we give to Jesus that is literally priceless. And Jesus wants each of us to have that faith. And living in 2019, we Catholics need that faith. Last, they compelled Simon of Cyrene to help Jesus carry his cross. At first, he didn't want to do it. He struggled. But eventually, through his union with Jesus on the cross, his life began to change. And eventually, St. Luke tells us that his sons, his whole family became Christian. It was through helping Jesus carry his cross that he became truly a Christian in his whole family. And the church continues to celebrate St. Simon of Cyrene and his sons to this very day. As we approach Holy Week, Jesus wants us to be like Simon. He wants us to help accompany him along the journey, up close, not at a distance, putting our own skin in the game, following his command as a disciple, that if you wish to be my follower, you, not the person sitting next to you, not the person in front or behind, you must deny yourself, pick up your cross each day, and follow me. And Jesus, who summons us to that type of fidelity, gives us in this holiest of weeks all the help he knows we're going to need to do it. There's no better place to start our Holy Week than here at Palm Sunday Mass. The Mass we celebrate together is in fact Palm Sunday, Holy Thursday, Good Friday, and Easter all together. In a few minutes we will shout out again as we did at the beginning of this Mass, "Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord." We will enter into the upper room where Jesus gave us his body and blood for the first time. We will climb Calvary, where we will not merely be witnesses but participants in the very same death of the Lord once and for all for us in our salvation. And we will have the most awesome privilege on earth. Privilege not even given to the angel. To receive Jesus' risen body and blood. And leave with him from the tomb of death. And get a foretaste of the eternal wedding banquet. In that kingdom, Jesus won for us. In the very passion, death, and resurrection. We will celebrate this week. And celebrate now. This is our faith. This is the faith of the church. How proud and privileged we are to glory in it, in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.